But then as humid air returns this weekend, the chance of showers and thunderstorms will increase. It'll also get warmer. Today's high 82 with clouds giving way to sun, going down to 57 to 62 tonight. More partly sunny, high 78. Saturday, more clouds and humid, a couple of showers and a thunderstorm, high 81 degrees. And there could also be a few thunderstorms around on Sunday. Sunday, a warm, humid day. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, AM 1400, WRJM.
Muchas gracias, EA. Right now in Kenosha, 74 degrees under partly sunny skies. It is mostly sunny at the Municipal Airport in Burlington and 71, cloudy at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport and 75 degrees, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN, cloudy and 75. The winds are out of the northwest at 7 miles an hour. The dew point is 67 degrees, and the relative humidity 76%. The barometric pressure is rising at 30.02. It's 11 minutes after 10 o'clock on your throwback Thursday morning. This is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, Glenn Klein, and she is Dr. Gigi Chawla. She is a pediatrician with the Children's Minnesota. We'll find out where she's at. Hello, Dr. Chawla.
Hi there. Thank you. You did get that right.
Well, it was a little bit weak, but glad to have you. Where are you this morning?
I'm in Minneapolis. Thank you.
And who do you work with?
I work with Children's Minnesota.
Oh, that's what it says, Children's Minnesota, that I stumbled over. Great. Mark Eichhorst is here, my tag team partner. Say hello to him.
Oh, hi there, Mike.
Mark. It's Mark. He's Mr. Racine, Mark. You know. He's known as Mr. Racine.
Oh, very good.
Have you ever been to Racine?
I don't think that I ever have. Should I? What would be great about Racine that I'm missing out on?
Mr. Racine, would you like to answer that question, please, for Dr. Chawla?
How about we're famous for Kringle, which is a Danish pastry. We're famous for S.C. Johnson's. We've got a great location on the Great Lakes on the lakefront here. We're known for the best tasting tap water in the country. A lot of good things. J.I. Case Company. And a lot of good activities and things, fun things to do. We're just about 23 miles from Milwaukee, and great location.
And, of course, the location of your radio friend, WRJN.
That's terrific.
Radio station has been here since 1926, one of the oldest stations in the country.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, you have chosen to work with the very youngest in our society. Children. Why did you decide to become a pediatrician?
Honestly, I think I became a pediatrician because that's where you can make the greatest difference in people's outcome and the health of a community.
What is the biggest challenge that parents and grandparents of infants are having now, physically and health-wise?
Boy, that's a great question. You know, when I think about where are the greatest challenges, I think it's about childhood development and helping kids make healthy choices, even choices for things like promoting a healthy diet to prevent obesity, promoting a healthy development so that later on we aren't dealing with the aftermath of behavioral outbursts or challenges in the school systems.
What can parents do to help facilitate those things?
Yeah, you know, today we really wanted to highlight how important those early years of brain development really can be. We know that, in the first 3 years of life, kids are making about 700 new neural connections per second, and that 80% of brain development really occurs by age three, so it's such a prime time and opportunity to really capture kids in their development. And to me, that really means engaging kids, not just putting them in front of a TV or giving them some electronics in order to have them explore the world, but finding ways to explore the world with them and to help craft their development very purposefully.
How much is the developmental process in vitro? What can parents do when you're pregnant to help the child's brain develop effectively?
I think first, you know, just having a really healthy pregnancy. I mean, being very thoughtful during your pregnancy about what types of things you're taking in as a mom, and also as a, you know, for the for uh, if if you're part of a team with a partner going through that pregnancy, really thinking and being very purposeful about what do you want to do for your child through their developmental years after kids are born.
What is the common strain between, other than just pure genetics, for children that develop mentally in a healthful way, both physically and emotionally?
You know, I think that's a good question. Certainly, genetics does play a role for healthy development. Definitely gives you the basic structure in order to be able to do that. But the majority of development really is your environment. And so having parents and families understand that they are the key in driving their child's success is really an important message.
She is Dr. Gigi Chawla. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation, along with Mark Eichhorst on a Thursday morning. When parents are thinking about disciplining their infants, what is the earliest time that you can start disciplining a young child?
Well, I really don't use the word discipline in the same sentence with infants. You know, there really isn't a reason to ever think about that together. I think, you know, when kids are toddlers, even discipline at that age is really more redirection and guidance. And what you're really looking for is kids at that time in toddlerhood are thinking about trying to make their own choices and understanding the consequences of the choices that they're making. And so as a caregiver, as a parent, limiting the choices that are available to choices, either choice that the parent or adult is comfortable with, offering choices like that where a child can pick either and you're going to be fine is going to allow a kid to have some independence without ever getting into the situation where you're ever thinking about discipline. Does that make sense?
It's an opinion, and a very intelligent and educated opinion. She is the very educated and intelligent Dr. Gigi Chawla. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. She is with Children's Minnesota, and also Mr. Racine is in here, Mark Eichhorst.
Doctor, you mentioned obesity lately. Well, how has that become, or how has it become such a great problem in today's society, obesity among our young people? And what can parents do? Now, we're talking about development in their children and getting them to think right. We talked about making choices and good, healthy choices. What can parents do to help overcome this problem of obesity?
Yeah, you know, I think that's thank you for highlighting this topic also. About 1 in 3 kids enter into the kindergarten system either overweight or obese. And so there's plenty of opportunity for parents, caregivers, all adults around kids to really help craft healthy choices, developmental choices, healthy food choices, a healthy lifestyle for kids in those formative years. And to me, that really means prioritizing things in kids' development, reading or activities, being outside, being active, so taking that type of approach to a healthy lifestyle, as well as thinking about food choices. And the very specific food choices that families can make are prioritizing water above every other type of beverage like soda or pop or juices, and really limiting those types of extraneous calories that kids really do not need.
I really appreciate you calling it pop, because that's what we call here, you know. If you're from Chicago or Milwaukee, you call it pop. She's Dr. Gigi Chawla. She is a pediatrician and a hospitalist. She's the senior medical director for the primary care division at Children's Minnesota. What if kids won't eat healthy food? What do you do?
You know, I think if you are at the point where kids have been able to make any choices at any time in their life and then suddenly are now giving them healthy foods, you're going to have a struggle. They are going to refuse. And you're going to have to kind of bear down and wait that time out a little bit. And they'll get to the point where they're hungry, especially if you're giving them a few choices. They'll finally and eventually pick the choice that they'll accept. But if you instead think about this more preventatively from the very beginning, like for childhood development, but from the very beginning, if you work on getting it right there, then they don't have, you don't ever have to get to the stage where they're food refusing.
You just make them starve till they eat whichever you put in front of them?
Yeah, I don't like to. Well, starve is probably a little extreme.
Better just stick some carrots in front of them when they can start chewing than some french fries. That's what you're saying, I think.
Yes. If you're making choices, if you're going to put a choice out for chips or carrots or french fries, yeah, make those choices for them. Then you could put carrots and other fresh veggies out there for them to choose.
I think the key is lead by example, because, you know, so often when I see kids that are obese and you see their parents and their parents have a weight problem too, I always think of the old cartoon expert, Weebles wobble, but they don't fall down. You got a whole family of Weebles, you know.
Very often, you know, as your environment crafts your development in every regard, both in childhood development from an education standpoint and a learning standpoint, but also, you're right, in a health choices standpoint and a dietary standpoint, all of those things really could and should be modeled by the adult caregivers.
She is Dr. Gigi Chalas. She's a pediatrician, a hospitalist. She's the senior medical director for the primary care division at Children's in Minnesota. Thanks so much for joining us on Community Conversations this morning, Doctor, on WRJN.
Thanks for having me.
We play the songs you remember. AM 1400, WRJN.